Hello and welcome to the Late Cassette Podcast, and today I'll be covering Batman, Mask of the Phantasm, which is a spin-off feature film from Batman the Animated Series. Before we get into the movie, let me give you some background on the cartoon that inspired it. Batman the Animated Series ran from September 1992 until September 1995. It was produced by Warner Brothers Animation and ran on Fox. For anyone who doesn't know or remember, the Fox Kids on afternoons were legit. We had Batman the Animated Series, Power Rangers, X-Men, Spider-Man, Animaniacs, Tiny Toons, Big Bad Beetleborgs, just to name a few. Batman the Animated Series became not only a hit with us kids at the time, but also the critics. It was nominated and won a couple of Emmy Awards. It is also one of the definitive versions of Batman, and is still held in very high regard. Most of the voice cast from the old cartoon returned to provide the voices in Arkham Asylum and Arkham City from 2009 and 2011, respectively. To go in depth on the animated series is a whole other podcast altogether, so let's get back to Mask of the Phantasm. Originally, Mask of the Phantasm started out is a direct-to-video release with no theatrical release. However, Warner Brothers were impressed by the first season of the animated series, so they condensed the shooting schedule down to 8 months. I believe I read that at the time it took most animated movies 2 years, so quite a condensed schedule to say the least. Alan Burnett was tasked with writing the original script, which had Batman taken captive by his adversaries in Arkham Asylum. But fellow animated series writers Paul Dini, Martin Pascal, and Michael Reeves also made significant contributions. Dini had said in an interview on Kevin Smith's podcast, Fat Man on Batman, years ago, that all the writers wrote chunks of the movie. Pascal handled the flashbacks, Reeves the climax, and Dini filled holes, whatever the fuck that means, or whoever the fuck that means. And Burnett was responsible for the main crux of the movie, which is a love story. He wanted to do the story because they hadn't done it on the animated series. Probably, you know, because it's a fucking kids cartoon. The plot is also taken heavily from the 1987 series Batman Year 2 comic that was written by Mike Barr and illustrated by Paul Neary, Alfredo Alca, Mark Farmer, and Spawn creator Todd McFarlane. Eric Radomski and animator Bruce Timm co-directed. Ben Melnicker and Michael Uslan, who were heavily responsible for getting the 1989 live-action movie off the ground, served as producers. Shirley Walker handled the music, and the movie was distributed and produced by Warner Brothers. Kevin Conroy and old Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill, voiced Batman and the Joker, continuing their work from the animated series. Dana Delaney is Andrea Beaumont and slash the Phantasm. Hart Bochner is Councilman Arthur Reeves. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. is Alfred Pennyworth. Abe Vigoda is Salvatore Vaustra. Stacy Keach is Carl Beaumont, Andrea's father, who is in debt to Vaustra's gang. Bob Hastings is Commissioner Gordon. And Robert Costanzo is Harvey Bullock. Dick Miller and John Ryan also serve as crime bosses. Batman Mask of the Phantasm was released on Christmas Day 1993 and made just $5.8 million against a $6 million budget, making it a box office flop. This is mostly blamed on Warner Brothers rushing it to theaters. However, due to VHS sales and rentals, the movie became profitable when it reached home media. Also, comic books, novelization, toys, pretty much anything they could sell, they sold with the Batman Mask of the Phantasm moniker on it. Well, without further ado, let's get into it. We start with opening credits panning through the giant skyscrapers of Gotham to very operatic music and a slowed-down version of the cartoon theme. We go to a meeting between mobsters that Batman crashes. He is able to incapacitate all of them except the leader, Chucky Soule, who is confronted by the Phantasm in a parking garage. The Phantasm has an axe-like blade weapon over their right hand. Chucky makes a run for his car when the Phantasm gets distracted by another car leaving. It seems that Chucky would be able to get away, but he turns around to try and run over the Phantasm. But the Phantasm jumps out of the way, and Chucky gets blinded and starts choking on the smoke from the portable smoke machine, because smoke follows this motherfucking Phantasm everywhere. Chucky drives through the parking garage wall and plows into a nearby building. So they got some really weak-ass concrete in this cartoon world. Some onlookers see Batman, who got there at the very wrong place at the very wrong time. And Batman turns to survey the scene and chases after someone he sees leaving the garage. He sees some smoke streaming through the exit door to the roof, but apparently doesn't investigate because we cut to a press conference and a city councilman blaming Batman for the recent uptick in vigilante justice, while Gordon just calls bullshit as he does. Bruce runs scans on a piece of Chucky's windshield he recovered from the scene. After a quick cut to the councilman, Arthur talking to a woman flying into Gotham. She's saying that she hasn't been there in 10 years, while staring at a magazine with Bruce Wayne's face on it. We cut to a party going down at Wayne Manor, with some woman basically throwing their pussies at Bruce, and another woman walks up and throws a drink in his face. Apparently he took her out and never called her. Arthur lends Bruce a towel and asks Bruce randomly about his ex Andrea Beaumont. Bruce doesn't like that. He retreats to a massive room and broods all by himself like he does. We then get our first flashback. Bruce placing two roses on his parents' grave. He hears a woman talking. He assumes she was talking to him, but nope, she's talking to her mother's grave. She mentions she has seen him around campus, and the two talk as they leave the cemetery. They formally introduce themselves to each other before Andrea gives him some sass and drives off. We then cut to Gotham at night and see young Bruce in a ski mask as a sort of proto-Batman. He confronts a group of thieves and once again is able to take them all out except one. The one remaining flees to the truck and takes off with Bruce chasing after him. We see a young Bullock as a patrolman driving during the truck's getaway. Bruce is able to hang on to the truck and is eventually able to get it to crash. And the police capture the bandit. The next morning, Alfred, with dark hair, I might add, because this is a flashback, tries to talk Bruce out of his exploits. Bruce declines and tells Alfred he needs to strike fear into his foes. Andrea shows up, and she's thirsty as fuck because she can't believe it. He hadn't called her in the 3 days since they met. Bruce is practicing jiu-jitsu, and Andrea just tosses him like a sack of shit. Some flirting here and there, and then they start getting busy on the lawn. And we cut back to present day. We cut to crime boss Buzz Bronski placing a wreath on Chucky's grave, calling him a loser. Chucky already has a headstone. Shit moves fast in the cartoon world. We hear the Phantasm calling out Bronski's name. The Phantasm comes up behind Buzz, and Buzz is able to run away. During his escape, Buzz picks up a pickaxe. The Phantasm then appears behind Buzz again and breaks Buzz's axe weapon. Buzz runs away as fast as the tubby bitch can go. He calls out to his henchmen who run to try and find him, and Buzz falls into an empty grave with a huge angel statue, or gravestone I guess, overlooking the grave. Buzz can't get out, and the Phantasm pushes the angel stone over on him. The henchmen arrive too late, of course, and think it's Batman they see leaving the scene off in the distance. We cut to a mobster reading the paper of the killing the next morning and getting very worried. It seems he's about to have a heart attack until he grabs some oxygen and calms the fuck down. Very old dude, looks like he's gonna die any second. Batman overhears Gordon refusing to help Arthur get Batman. Arthur and Bullock try to lure him with the bat signal, but Batman says, "Fuck overlook that and doesn't show up. Instead, he goes to examine the grass at the cemetery, maybe wanting to smoke some. He does find some weird residue, and he stops by his parents' grave. This residue, I guess, is the smoke, which is... because they really don't make much of a deal of it. He just finds the residue, and I think he just compares it to the residue that was on Chucky's car windshield, and I believe it's the smoke from the Phantasm. But he stops by his parents' grave, and he overhears someone talking, and is shocked to see it's Andrea, or Andrea, as they call her, who catches him looking at her before he takes off. She seems to think it's Bruce by looking at the grave he was standing by. Cut to Andrea and Arthur eating at a restaurant. Batman watches like a fucking creep from a ledge across from them, and this launches another flashback. This time, Bruce and Andrea are at Gotham's World's Fair, which has a futuristic theme. It's like a little amusement park. Bruce and Andrea take a monorail ride that takes them through the mini city and a house of the future. Bruce sees an automobile of the future as they walk around later. It's very obvious that this is the idea where the Batmobile came from. Andrea tells Bruce her father wants to meet him as they leave. He agrees, and she excitedly calls him from Bruce's car phone. We then cut to the elder Beaumont's office. Bruce and Andy, as her father calls her, arrive and meet him, along with the young councilman Arthur Reeves. Arthur leaves, and Carl talks to Bruce and Andrea and seems like a nice, genuine dude. As they talk, Sal Vouster shows up and basically strong-arms his way into a meeting with Carl. Carl takes the meeting despite being visibly unhappy about it. Bruce feels uneasy about it too, and he and Andrea see someone being harassed by a motorcycle gang as they walk down the street. Bruce runs ahead and starts taking the gang members out. He is mostly successful, but ends up getting fucked up a bit, and two of the members are able to get away with a stolen box of cash and jewels, like people just walk around the cities of America with. Later that night, we see Bruce trying to draw sketches of what his vigilante disguise should look like. It's not going so well, and Bruce is torn as to if he should try and be happy with Andrea or take up his crusade against Gotham's criminals. Bruce says he can't have both. It's either one or the other. Later on, he broods at his parents' grave, feeling guilty about breaking his promise to take on Gotham's underworld. He pleads with his parents' grave to show him a sign or anything, and Andrea shows up. They have a touching moment and embrace. This ends the flashback as Bruce addresses Batman, still watches her and Arthur eat, but takes off when he hears a chopper overhead. We cut to Vouster picking up Arthur and asking him about the murders, puzzled because Batman has never targeted them before. Batman looks into the two dead mobsters and finds they had a connection to Vouster. So, Bats goes off to pay him a visit. While Batman is going through Vouster's place, he sees a picture of Chucky, Buzz, Vouster, and Andrea's father, Carl. This triggers yet another flashback. In this one, Andrea is telling Bruce she's leaving to go to Europe indefinitely with her father. Bruce reacts to this by proposing with a ring and everything. She happily accepts. They kiss, and then get startled by a mass exodus of bats from a cave underneath them. Later on, Bruce and his chaperone, Alfred, take Andrea home. They plan to tell her father of their engagement, but decide to hold off because it seems he has some business clients over. Bruce sees a shady but familiar-looking fuck who flicks a cigarette at Bruce's car as Alfred drives away. The next morning, Bruce explores the cave and all the bats came out of. The cave is complete with a ladder connected to the wall and everything. Alfred looks upset when Bruce comes out of the cave. Alfred hands Bruce a letter in a small, wrapped-up box. The note says she is too young and that she left to go to Europe with her dad. Later on, Bruce gets ready to go out on the town and distribute some vigilante justice. And this seems to be the first time he takes on the Batman persona. Present day, he snaps out of his daydream and steals the fucking picture like a damn criminal. We cut to Vaustra at the rundown World's Fair park we saw Bruce and Andrea at in the flashback. The statue starts singing, and then suddenly their fucking heads get blown off. Joker steps out and definitely knows Vaustra. Joker is a bit of a dick to him, but agrees to hear out Vaustra's business proposition. Joker throws him into the monorail cart, and the two of them take the ride to the House of the Future, where Joker stops the ride, and it appears this is the Joker's new hideout. Joker talks to the robotic family and hears out Vaustra's proposal. $5 million up front to take out Batman, plus whatever he wants after. Joker does his whole crazy man routine and finally agrees to help Sal. Joker looks at him menacingly, and I already know this shit ain't good. We cut to Arthur dropping Andrea off. Batman again watches the two of them, this time from in her apartment. Jeez, this fucking guy just can't get enough. Andrea turns on the light and sees him, but could give a fuck less. Batman shows Andrea the picture of her father with the gangsters, but she just tells him to get out after some banter back and forth. She definitely knows it's Bruce and makes a crack about his parents. She collapses crying on the bed after he leaves. We cut to the Phantasm entering a nice big old mansion. It seems they are trying to give the Phantasm a supernatural touch by implying it moves, like, teleports by way of the smoke. And this mansion just happens to be Vaustra's place. The Phantasm rips the paper out of Vaustra's hand that he is reading in his chair. However, Vaustra is already dead, and there is a camera in his lap recording, and the Joker talking to the Phantasm. The Phantasm dives through the window just as a bomb goes off. Batman then chases the Phantasm in the Batwing. Batman ejects, and a fight between the two ensues. The Phantasm again disappears through smoke, while the police chopper shows up and chases Batman. He's able to get away, but gets pinned down in a construction site by the chopper and SWAT team. One of the SWAT team idiots shoots a tank, causing an explosion, wounding Batman pretty good, or pretty bad. He grapples toward the helicopter, and his cape and cowl get shot to shit, and it turns out that's all it is, the cape and cowl. He tied it to a sawhorse. The now maskless Batman attempts to make his escape while being pursued by most of the police force. He narrowly escapes when Andrea pulls up and tells him to hop in her car. She takes him home to get fixed up by Alfred and eventually starts to spill the story of her father's ties to the mobsters. Those were the partners her father was having a meeting with the night of her and Bruce's engagement. Carl begs them not to hurt his daughter and to just give him 24 hours to get the money. They threaten him, but they give him the 24 hours. As soon as the mobsters leave, he tells his daughter to pack a suitcase. He can't get them the money, and they need to disappear for a while. He promises to get them free of this. They fled to Europe, and she makes it seem like she thinks her father's the Phantasm. And she tells a story about how her father did get the money back and tried to pay the mobsters back, but they kept wanting interest and interest and interest, and it was never enough. She goes to leave after the story, but Bruce grabs her and they kiss. We can assume whatever happened that night, it was hard and it was fast. The next morning, she enjoys a coffee while looking out to the sea. Wayne Manor is, I guess, is built by the ocean shore or something in the animated world, in this particular animated world. Bruce joins her and the two ponder if they can make it work this time. Andrea leaves and they make plans to meet up again later. Bruce tells Alfred he still loves her and maybe he will give up the Batman mantra after he takes down the Phantasm. Bruce sees someone in the picture of Carl and the gangsters that intrigues him. Bruce does a little drawing and deduces it is the Joker before he was the Joker. And this is the guy who flicked the cigarette at Bruce's car whenever he was leaving when he dropped Andre off. So, definitely the jokester. The Joker crashes in on Arthur at his office and heavily implies that Arthur is dirty and that it isn't Batman killing all these old mobsters. Andrea calls Arthur while the Joker's with him, and Joker puts her on speaker, and Joker just can't believe it's a coincidence. We see the councilman geeking out at a hospital, and the staff try to sedate him. Joker put a toxin in him. We then see Batman enter Arthur's room and try to question him. Arthur admits that he kept in contact with Beaumont, and Arthur asked Beaumont for money to help him out with his campaign, and when Carl refused, Arthur sold him out to the mob. So it's possible Andrea might have known this as well. Maybe. Later, we see Batman go to Andrea's apartment. The phone rings, and he answers it, and it happens to be Joker. Joker thinks Andrea's answered the phone, and he is sending a flying bomb, but Batman manages to detonate it before it gets to him with a batarang. We cut to Andrea standing outside of the World's Fair Park, and once again, cue the flashback. She's arriving home and sees someone leaving her house, and it's the Joker before he was Joker. She walks in her house and screams when she finds her presumably dead father. In the present day, Phantasm shows up and makes it known, and Joker makes it known that he knows it's Andrea. She throws the disguise off and they throw down. He sticks the robot on her, which she brushes off pretty easily. He then smacks her a couple times with a roll of baloney, yes, baloney, and exits through the window, which is funny, you see. She searches for him while doing her old smoke routine. Joker uses an old turbine to toss her all around the park, turns it on, and it's like a big fan, sucking in. Luckily, Batman shows up and shuts that shit down in a hurry by launching his motorcycle into it. Bruce confronts her about killing all the mobsters, and Bruce pleads with her to stop and leave. It seems maybe she does, and Batman chases after the Joker. Batman wanders through the life-size model of Gotham, and Joker turns it on and attacks Batman. Batman takes out all the drone-like toys attacking him with little explosives. Joker tells him he has explosives rigged everywhere and will set them off in 5 minutes. Or they're set to go off in 5 minutes, rather. Joker tries to make a getaway by jetpack, but Batman is able to catch him, and the two spin through the air out of control until they crash. Andrea shows back up and grabs Joker. Batman asks her to leave, but she refuses, and the place starts to explode. Her and Joker disappear in the smoke, and they are gone. Batman, meanwhile, falls into the sewer and ends up in the sea as he watches the place burn. Here's a tongue twister for you. Back in the Batcave, Bruce broods while Alfred consoles him. Bruce sees something shining and runs over to find a locket he saw at Andrea's place earlier. It contains a picture of Bruce and Andrea. We cut to a cruise liner and we see Andrea all alone on a deck, brooding much like Bruce. Batman watches the bat signal from a rooftop and grapples away as the credits roll. Positives, good story, good tone, and it feels like one big episode of the animated series, which is what it should feel like. And they fucking took it seriously, which is more than you can say for the two live-action movies that Schumacher and Warner Brothers did after this. The negatives. The flashbacks got a little old, and I wish we had gotten a little more of a reunion between Bruce and Andrea. They just had the one night, but I guess that's all these two crazy kids get. Theoretically, this is in the same continuity as the animated series, but I'd have no idea where it would fit on the timeline because, I don't know, I just think it'd be a fucking disaster. This is quite obviously before Robin. Did Robin come in the meantime and the Phantasm shows up while Robin's in college? It's a little murky about the timeline of this, but or the continuity at least. Overall though, this is a great Batman movie, even though it's so short. 76 minutes. two thumbs up. I personally would love to see them adapt this into a live-action movie, but I wouldn't hold my breath for that anytime soon. There are a few more movies associated with the animated series, but those are more standalone, spin-off type things, and not an overarching story. So what I think I'm going to do is sprinkle them in here and there, since they don't really need to be told linearly. Batman Sub-Zero, which is the Mr. Freeze movies, would be next in the series, but like, there's nothing to tie it to get to this one, so. And I don't know if I can get much more Batman stuff in since I did the original series, the first four episodes. But join me next time when I tackle some more movie nostalgia right here on the Leighton Cassette Podcast. Don't forget to follow on Twitter and like on Facebook. I'll see you next time.